Well, good morning. My name is Ray Bourget. I'm the director at David Thompson Bible Camp, and it's my pleasure to be here this morning to speak to you and to bring a message and to tell you a little bit about what will happen with camp this year. So we're going to be looking at the parable of the talents as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 13 to 30. You'll want to have your Bibles out and be following along so that you can see, because I'm not going to read through the whole thing as we get going. So we'll just find our spot here. So Matthew chapter 25, verses 13 to 30. Now, if your Bible has little subheadings, you'll probably notice that the parable of the talents starts after chapter or verse 14. However, verse 13 is actually a lead-in to that, and so that's why we will start with verse 13. And here's what it says. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another one 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is. Here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you've probably heard this parable a number of times. And there can be a number of different interpretations of what Jesus is talking about here. And so what I'm going to speak on is just one of the interpretations or one of the ways of looking at it. This particular parable or story is one in a series of stories that Jesus tells one after the other. And he's telling them in answer to a question that his disciples have asked him. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. So here, Jesus has just talked to the disciples a bit about the signs of the end of the age. And we get into verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so that's the question they've asked. To put it into context of the question, what Jesus was saying to them was, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour of my coming, nor of the end of the age. So watch carefully, because it is like this story. It is like a man going on a journey. And then he proceeds to tell the story of the man and his servant. The parable involves four people. It involves a master and his three servants. The master is heading out on a long journey. He needs to have his property managed while he is away. He needs people that he can trust that will take care of things for him. And so he calls three of his servants to him. He gives them each some of his treasure and makes each one responsible for taking care of a large weight of precious metal in keeping with their abilities. We don't know what the precious metal was. We don't know exactly what the treasure was. Well, we only know what it weighed. In Jesus' day, a talent was a unit of weight. It was not currency. One talent equaled 75 pounds or 34 kilos. So in each case, he's given them a weight of precious metal. One servant is given 5 talents or 375 pounds of precious metal. One is given 2 talents or 150 pounds. And one is given 1 talent or 75 pounds. So just wrap your head around that a little bit. You know, 75 pounds of metal is fairly heavy. You're not going to throw that into a backpack and run off with it. You're going to have to plan how you're going to take care of that and move it around. Now, when we look at verse 15, we should notice that they're not each given the same amount. One is given 5 talents, 1, 2, 1, 1. However, they are given an amount in keeping with their ability. So the master knows the abilities of each one and what they can handle. And so he gives them treasure to manage in accordance with their abilities, what they can do. He knows fully well what they are capable of. Now, it's important to note as well that although the amounts vary and each servant has a different ability, the expectation is the same for each one of them. The expectation is that they will manage the treasure that has been entrusted to them in a way that benefits the master. So it doesn't matter if they have 1 talent or 5 talents, the expectation is the same. Manage it to the best of your abilities for the benefit of the master. Now in verses 16 to 17, we see two other noteworthy things about what two of the servants do. Number one, they act with a sense of urgency. Verse 16 describes how the servant with 5 talents went at once or immediately. Depends on what translation you're using. Some say hurried off. He did not waste any time. So why the sense of urgency? Well, it's because he had a strong desire to please his master. He did not know how much time he would have to improve the master's property before he returned, and so he set to work at once doing it. He also didn't know how long it would take to get a return on what he was doing. The same with the second. He also heads off with a sense of urgency. The second thing to note is that they took steps to improve the master's property that had been entrusted to them. They sought out, they had the sense of urgency of, I've been entrusted with this, I need to do something to improve it so when my master returns, I have something to offer him. And so they took the time, they took the effort to invest the property, and they ended up doubling what they had started off with. This third servant, however, he was different. He buries the property, and he does nothing with it. What a contrast between this servant and the previous two servants. Now, after a long time, the master returns. Unlike today, where we have cell phones, telephones, email, all kinds of ways to communicate from long distances, they did not have this at that time. And so there was no warning that the master was on his way home. They knew that he was on his way home when he walked in the door. His return would not have been announced. And so they would not have had a final warning to make sure that everything was in its proper place and properly cared for. Again, that goes towards the sense of urgency. As you don't know when he's coming back, we better make sure everything's always ready. You know, how often do you see stories of you know, our mom and dad are heading off to a little bit of a vacation for a couple of days. You tell the kids, make sure you take care of the house and the dishes are done. And the kids are like, yes, yes, yes. The parents call an hour away, saying, yeah, we're an hour away. We're on our way home. And then all of a sudden, it's like, quick, clean up everything that we left sitting there. Well, they didn't have that. Instead, they had the sense of the master may come home at any moment. Always be ready for him to walk in the door. So after a long time, the master does return. Upon his return, he settles accounts with them. He calls them in. He says, I've entrusted you with my treasure. I want to know the condition of it now. What have you done? He calls each one in separately to account for what they have done with his property. The two servants, they bring to him twice as much as what they had been entrusted with. And in doing so, they earn the praise of the master. He invites them to share in his happiness and rewards them for their faithfulness. This is found in verses 19 to 23. He tells them that he's well pleased with them. The third servant, he brings what had been entrusted to him. And he admits that he didn't do anything with it to increase its value. He simply says, oh, I kept it safe. Here you go. This was yours. I'm giving it back to you. And he claims that the reason he did that was that he was afraid of his master. So do you see how he tries to blame his master for his lack of faithfulness to the master? Look in verses 24 to 30. He says, I was afraid of you because I knew that you reap where you didn't sow at all. And he blames his master for him not doing his job. But the master recognizes the truth. The servant was wicked and the servant was lazy. And so he has him stripped of his position and cast out of the master's presence. Remember, the master had given to each servant the amount in keeping with his ability. The master knew full well what the servant could have done. The servant chose to do nothing. It's also worth noting that each servant is individually responsible for how they managed their treasure. They are individually responsible for how they managed what was entrusted to them. The master called each one to him separately, asks each one of them to give an account for what they did. It is not a group responsibility. The fact that together they had received 8 talents and had in turn returned 15 talents to the master does not save the third servant from accountability. He still is individually accountable for what he did, which was really nothing. So again, remember how each servant was given treasure to manage in keeping with their ability. The first two servants, they were able to invest the treasure and thereby increase its value. The third one had the ability to increase the value of what he had been given. In fact, the master tells him that he could have invested it with the bankers at the very least. And so there's something he could have done. He had the ability. And then the master would have received a return. The issue was not how big the increase was. The issue was that the servant did not use his abilities to manage the master's treasure properly and thereby increase its value. So, how does this apply to us today? I don't think you have a master who's going to come and give you 75 pounds worth of gold. So what are we looking at here? What is the message we should take away from this? Well, remember, the parable is answering the question, tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The question was about Jesus. When are you coming and what are the signs? When is the end of the age going to happen? The key message here is that, just like the servants in the story, we do not know when Jesus will return. But we do know that when he returns, we are going to be called to account for how we have managed his treasure. You see, the master in this story is Jesus. He's the one who's heading out off on a journey. The servants are his disciples. In this case, then, what is a property? What is a treasure? Well, good question. But think about it. What has greater value in heaven What is there that can be multiplied? Well, the thing of greatest value in heaven is people. The treasure is the people who Jesus entrusts to his followers, to witness to disciple, to invest in so that they multiply. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. So here it's written, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The jars of clay that's referred to here is also a way of saying the body. So we have the treasure of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That is found in us. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. This is a passage that we're well familiar with. Here Jesus says to his disciples, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So we see here, again, a reference to the kingdom of heaven and the treasure, the importance of these children and of people that are like children coming to him. Let's go to John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And so in response to Peter saying, yes, I love you, Jesus tells him, feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep, take care of those who I have put in your care. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Let's take a look at that. I think most of you are familiar with this, often called the Great Commission. Here Jesus says to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So what do these verses have to do with the parable of the talents? Well, it shows us the importance and how much Jesus treasures people. That they are the treasure that we are called to bring to heaven, to bring before the Master. So how does this apply to you and I? If you are a servant of God, and everyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus is a servant of God. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and not be a servant of God. The two go together, hand in hand. So if you are a servant of God, then he brings people into your life for you to invest in. He brings people into my life for me to invest in. For some of you, investing means witnessing about Jesus, sharing your story of salvation, and your relationship with the Father. For others, it is discipling those who have become believers, teaching them how to share the gospel, investing time in teaching them to be those followers and to become the disciples of Christ. God entrusts people to you within your abilities. Not everyone evangelizes. but they can always teach. Not everyone teaches, but those then can evangelize. If God brings someone to you, you have the ability for what he's calling you to do, just as every one of the servants had the ability to do what God had, or the master had called them to do. In the same way, Jesus gives us the ability to do what he's called us to do with those he brings before us. You have a choice. You can be like the first two servants and invest and gain an increase in the kingdom, or you can be like the third servant, ignore God's wishes for you, and make excuses. I hope that we will all recognize that there is an urgency in reaching and teaching people for the kingdom of heaven. We don't know when the master will return. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back or when he'll call us to him. But when he does, will he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when he calls you to account? At David Thompson Bible Camp, we are bringing the gospel to those least likely to hear it and helping them to build relationships with God and with other believers. When camp is closed, we need other people in the church to continue to invest in them, to create treasures for heaven. It is not enough for us to bring the gospel to children at camp and then to expect them to figure it out on their own. It doesn't work that way. We need all the churches to come alongside these people and to continue to grow them and develop them and to invest in them. Now, some people will look at it and they say, "Well, you know, I can't teach. I don't know enough about the gospel. I don't know enough about the Bible." Fair enough. But you can always tell people about Jesus. Once you've told them about Jesus, once you've given them the gospel message, shared your story, then you can bring them to someone who can take them to the next level. And so just as the servants invested the talents, or the precious metal, the treasure, you take them and you invest them in the care of someone else. And that person then will teach them to their ability. And then they can pass them on to someone else. And so it's not you having to do everything. You can invest. And just like the third servant where Jesus told him, you could have given it to the bankers and then they would have returned it with interest. In the same way, you can take someone to someone who's more knowledgeable and have them also do their work and invest in them. But you have to start off. You have to first share what you know and then bring them to someone else. This year is our 60th year being in operation at David Thompson Bible Camp. Our theme this year is 1961 to 2021, 60 years of faithfulness. We're very excited about the fact that we've gone 60 years now. It's not going to have a lot of celebration because of all the restrictions we have right now, which is unfortunate, but it's still a very important and exciting milestone. So a lot of people are wondering, well, what are you doing this summer? Well, our plan is to hold summer camp again, but we're really limiting it to day camps because of the uncertainty that we have right now. Do we know for sure that we're going to be able to go ahead? No, we don't. That will be up to the Alberta government, but we are committed to planning for it so that if we do get the go-ahead, we'll move forward with it, we'll be ready to go. We have missionaries in place and ready. We have programs being developed. So for this year, we are going to have camps for 6 to 12-year-olds. We are going to have camps for 13 to 16-year-olds and for 15 to 17-year-olds. So a big expansion on what we were able to offer last year. For campers who are between 6 and 12 years old, on site at David Thompson Bible Camp, we will be holding three camps. The first one will be July 19 to 23, and it will include a canoe camp for 10 to 12-year-olds. So with the canoe camp, what that means is the first 2 days, they'll spend half the day learning how to handle a canoe. If at the end of those 2 days, the leaders feel that they're competent enough, then they'll start doing some all-day trips on the creek, either going upstream or downstream. They'll eat lunch on the creek, and then they'll come back down. And so it'll be a great way for them to explore the creek, see parts that they've never seen before, and to work on their canoeing skills. July 26 to 30 will be the second on-site camp for 6 to 12-year-olds. It will include a horsemanship camp for 10 to 15-year-olds. So at the horsemanship camp, they will spend half of each day learning about horses and riding horses. August 2 to 6 will be the third on-site camp. It will include a survival camp. In the survival camp, the campers will spend half of each day on survival skills. They will learn how to start a fire with a flint and steel. They will learn and will make their own functional bow. And they'll learn how to make a super awesome shelter. And so those are some of the things they will be learning there. Now, each of our camps lasts for 5 days. It goes from Monday to Friday. There are day camps only. They go from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day, and campers will bring their lunches with them. In addition to the on-site camps, we will also have off-site camps. So these off-site camps will be held in different communities. So the first off-site camp, it will be held in Wanham at Bethel Gospel Chapel. That camp will be for 6 to 12-year-olds. And again, as with the other camps, they will be there for just a day, and they will bring their own lunches. The second off-site camp will be held up in Silver Valley, at Silver Valley Gospel Chapel. And again, it's for 6 to 12-year-olds. And the third camp is going to be held in Clearedale. And that will be for 6 to 12-year-olds again, and that will be at the end of August. For 13 to 16-year-olds, we will again have horsemanship for during that 1 week. And then on August 16th to 20th, we're going to have Teen Week for 13 to 16-year-olds. This year for Teen Week, we're changing it up a little bit. What we are doing is we are going to offer a paintball option for 2 days and a horsemanship option for 1 day, a canoeing option for 1 day, and a survival option for 1 day. So campers will be able to sign up for those options if they choose to. There's no extra charge for them. And what will happen is that if that's what they choose to do, they get to do that for the day. Those campers who decide that, I don't want to do whatever that activity is, I'd rather do the other stuff, they'll have that freedom to do that as well. So they'll be able to do the archery, climbing wall, all the different activities we have. But it gives them a bit more choice. So if you're a teen and you think that, I just can't choose between which one of the options I want to do, well, you don't have to choose between them, you can do all of them. That'll be open to you. We're also very excited to be able to announce that this year we are going to hold LIT. This is for 15 to 17-year-olds. It will be July 12 to 17, and it will be our only overnight camp of the summer. It is slated to go from the 12th to the 17th, so 6 days, because we are going to be holding two sessions of Joy Camp at the same time. And for those of you that are not familiar with it, Joy Camp is a camp for adults with disabilities, and they will be coming for 3-day sessions. And so the LITs will be there at the same time, and a big part of their time there will be helping out with some of the different activities once they've been trained. So LITs, that's our leaders in training. This is a program where if you think that, I would really like to be able to come back as a summer missionary and serve at camp, this is a training that will get you prepared for that. So if you're interested, head to our website. So if you have any questions on any of those, or if you're interested in more information, you can go to our website. It is www.dtbc.ca, and the information is found there. You can also look us up on Facebook under David Thompson Bible Camp. We've been posting some of the information on our camps there to kind of give a little bit of a primer. Our contact information is found on our website as well. You can also contact us through Facebook. So if you have any questions, please contact us. Help us as we look to be the faithful servants to manage the treasures that God has brought to us. And so we also ask you for prayer. Pray for each of our summer missionaries as they prepare for coming for this this summer. Pray also that we would be able to go ahead and hold summer camp. Pray for us for wisdom and creativity as we work in all these areas. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm just going to close with prayer. Lord God, we thank you that we have the technology today to be able to just gather together and hear your word and to sing songs of praise. And we pray, Lord, as we go through our week, that we would look for those opportunities to manage the treasures you brought before us. Help us, Lord, to recognize what those treasures are and to be able to manage them well. And we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.